to the SB Live California podcast here with Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva. I'm Connor Morissette. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's your number one source for California high school sports fans with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva, and me. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Okay, gentlemen, we have playoff regional soccer action. We have playoff basketball. We got baseball playoffs coming down the pipe for both sections we're all in. And there's softball. The swimming and diving's done. The grand finale here for this COVID-shortened season, but I'm happy there are postseasons for all these kids who played those Season 2 sports. But it's a lot for us to cover, which is a good thing, but we're really stretched thin right now. How you guys doing?
Good. It's better than the alternative. So yeah, we got one last month, and happy to finish strong here.
Definitely, Lance. How are you?
Couldn't have said it better myself. I'm good.
Great. So, Bodie, I know we're on a different timeline slightly. I think it's like a week difference between what's going on in the Southern and LA city section and in the San Diego section. Why don't you just give us a brief overview of where things are with you and some observations maybe you've had from where things are and just thoughts on maybe a prediction or two where things are going. Just give us the state of high school sports right now in San Diego.
Yeah. So baseball, they are in their last week, although most of the teams, even though you can play up till Friday, they're getting their stuff done early. It makes sense to get a week, maybe a little more of a break, kind of reset your pitching rotation. So a lot of those league battles are finishing up. I was at Bonita Vista yesterday. They got a huge win to grab league there. I know Torrey Pines at Carlsbad, they're both in action today. They don't play each other, but they're tied for league. So if they tie, you never know who takes it. Carlsbad did take two of three in the regular season, but never know how schools want to claim those different ones. So that's another good league battle there. And in basketball, we got playoffs started last night. There were some good games throughout and not too many upsets there. I was at the 2-15 game in Division II, Coronado and Army Navy. And I thought that would be a good one and ended up being really good. Army Navy led by five with 5 minutes to play. And Coronado just came back. When you got a team with two Division I kids like Wayne McKinney and Alex Crawford, it's tough to put them away. Army Navy, it was tough all year for them. I know there were different rules about who could play with them being a boarding school, and they only got two wins during the regular season, almost got their third in playoffs. But that's a team I'll be looking for, one of the best junior guards really in California, in AJ Marmolejo. So he'll have a big year next year, but Coronado moves on, and I think the road might even be a little easier as they go on, and that's a team I would expect to see in the Division II championship.
You mentioned Army Navy in our meeting on Tuesday, and you said, yeah, they're 2-13, but they had some new players and thought it was going to be close. So I was interested in following along with you on Twitter, and that game was close. What was it, a 6 or 8 point game? And it's weird because they had that bad record, but they got some new players late, and it really made a big difference. It's too bad they were the 15 seed, but it seemed like when you're 2-13, you deserve it. But that, yeah. I felt bad for those kids because it felt like they were definitely better than the 15 seed.
Yeah, and there were a couple seniors that stepped up last night, but they always have a good group and a lot of international kids that come in, and they might take a year or two to get comfortable. But like AJ Marmolejo, saw him as a freshman, and the amount of time that he's improved already is really impressive and just matured in his game. So he'll be a guy to have a huge senior year.
Still think it's Torrey Pines is to lose at the top division there?
Yeah, I mean, the open division, those eight teams came out kind of what we expected. Carlsbad ended up moving down to the eight. Mission Hills, despite going 0-3 in the final week, they stayed at the seventh spot. That 4-5 game in the first round, I think, is really interesting between St. Augustine and Santa Fe Christian. They played each other, I think it was two of their three first games to start the year, and they split that series with the home team winning each of them. So this time it will be at Santa Fe Christian. But I think St. Augustine's definitely improved since that game. So this is going to be one of the better games I think we see all season. And The winner you would expect would go to play Torrey Pines in the second round.
Were there any seeding controversies? I know up here in the Open Division, St. John Bosco was really miffed that they got the 8 and had to play 3 games on the road, and I thought they were going to get seeded better. And the tough thing is they're 0-2, but that Etiwanda game they played last night, they lost by 2. I have to think that if the home courts were flipped and it was at St. John Bosco, maybe that's a 2-point win for them. So I know they were really frustrated with that, and I thought they had a legitimate case. Anything like that down there? It sounds like Mission Hills maybe kind of got a little fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, and you never know how the different computer rankings are going to go. But some teams, I think, throughout the year were aggressive with trying to make their schedule more difficult, knowing that we have a little more wiggle room if we go out and play more teams, where others just said, hey, we're content with maybe playing one or two top 10 teams and not playing too many others. So I think that hurt them, because strength of schedule is something that definitely matters. So whether it was the difference in being the 3 seed versus the 5 seed, that's an extra home game you lost there. So I don't think there's too much to complain about. At the end of the day, not that there's massive student sections around right now or anything. If you're good enough, I don't think playing on the road is going to be a huge difference for you.
Yeah, I get that too. Although here they're starting to allow a little bit of a student section. I was at a game last night. Fountain Valley had some good traveling fans, even though they ended up losing by 1 point. That was fun to see. So I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Lance, quickly before we get to you, I just want to make a couple basketball points from what I've been looking at. So in the Open Division Pool A for the boys up here in the Southern section, it's a semifinal game on that last day. And, of course, it's Etiwanda against Sierra Canyon again. Those two teams met 3 times last year, with Sierra Canyon winning all 3, Etiwanda getting so close a couple times. I remember when these two met in their pool play in the Open Division a year ago, Etiwanda was doing well, and then a fight broke out in the stands, which stopped things for like 20 minutes, and then Sierra Canyon, after that fight, went on a big run, and you just wondered if there wasn't that stoppage, if Etiwanda could have kept that going. And then, of course, when Zaire Williams in the state playoff, the regional championship, hit the buzzer beater, Etiwanda kind of, I don't want to say coughed that game up, but they should have won that one, and they broke down at the end. So they're big, I don't want to say they're rivals, but the last couple of years they're really becoming rivals. It's been a one-sided one, though, so we'll see if Sierra Canyon finally loses one. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Sierra Canyon is going to win by 10. They're just too good on offense. Etiwanda can't score enough, but it's always fun when those two teams meet. I think I'm going to try to get to that one on Friday. And then in Pool B, it's crazy. Everyone's 1-1, so you, to advance the championship, the team that wins that last game is also going to have to get a little lucky. So if I'm looking here, for example, if let me pull it up. If Harvard Westlake ends up beating Damien, then they would want Centennial to beat Modern Day. If Modern Day beats Centennial and Damien beats Harvard Westlake, then Damien would go. So I think you can understand what I'm saying. That last game, you not only need to win, but you need to get a little bit lucky in the head-to-head. So I have no idea how that's going to play out. I think both those games are coin flips, and then whoever just gets lucky is going to end up going to that championship against, I think, Sierra Canyon. Before I get to some of the other matchups on the boys, Lance, let's go to you. What have you been observing from the world of girls basketball? I saw a great Harvard-Westlake win. I can talk about that in a little bit. But how are things going in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's good. All the upper division playoffs have been exciting. Most of the top favorites have moved on in all the divisions, with the exception of 2AA, where I said Viewpoint is the team to beat. Alemany is also good. So Viewpoint gets a bye in the first game. Second game gets knocked out by Cajon, who came absolutely out of nowhere, was not on anyone's radar to beat, let alone beat Viewpoint, who I had top 20 in the state that week. So now I would say them and Alemany are the favorites. In the open division, I think 3 of the 4 favorites won. And so starting with Centennial, they beat West Torrance for the second time. Beat them specifically by 32 points for the second time this season. Modern Day beat Etiwanda, and with Etiwanda being without Deja Mitchell and Jessica Peterson for the rest of the season, the fact that they played Modern Day down to within 9 points, so single digits, super impressive. I think Kennedy Smith went off in that game. This year she's faced all 3 All-Americans in the southern section. She's averaging 23 points and 12 rebounds a game against them, matched up with them as a freshman. So that's incredible. I think she's a five-star talent and one of the absolute best players in the freshman class. Connor, I would say Harvard-Westlake, definitely the favorite against Linwood, although I'm surprised it was that lopsided. It sounds like it was the Kiki factor. What did you see? Was it that simple?
Pretty much, and some of the other Harvard-Westlake players did have good games, but Kiki Irioffen tied her career high that she had a year ago, 37 points, and she just really took that game over, and it was a really nice display of she could get to the rim, she had some beautiful post moves, she was hitting jump shots. She was clearly the best player on the floor in that game. I'm really excited to see what she goes on to do at Stanford, and then assuming she stays healthy, she struck me as pretty clear WNBA prospect. I thought that's how good she looked. And we'll see. I think going up against teams with a little bit more depth, like a Modern Day or a Centennial down the line, if that's how things shake out, that could be a tough matchup for them. I'm not sure they have the depth, but when you have a star player like that, you're going to be in any game. So I think she really, really impressed me, and that was definitely a fun game to watch, because anytime you get two McDonald's All-Americans going up against each other, Rhea Marshall was the player on Linwood. It's really, really exciting. And early it was a little closer. At the end, it got a little lopsided, but it just watching two great individual talents is fun, so I really enjoyed that.
I would say when Kiki is hitting jump shots, which now is a pretty consistent thing, I would definitely say she projects as a first-round pick in the WNBA, so I think that's a good call on that. So the one game that was, there wasn't really a big favorite in the first round, still open division Southern Section play, was Orangewood Academy, which is the 4 seed, and Windward, 5 seed. So obviously Windward, reigning section finalist in the open division, big favorite to make it back to at least being in contention to make it to the finals. And, of course, they didn't play as many games as a lot of other teams. Juju missed the first several games, so they picked up a loss that they might not have. In fact, I think that game was against Orangewood. And this time, Windward gave them a 14-point victory. And now, today, they play Corona Centennial, which is the top-ranked, top-seeded team, undefeated. And the one thing about Centennial that we've been saying all year is they're so small. They don't have a rotation player above 5'8". And if there's anyone you want to put length and size on in order to not let them give you 40 points, we know that's Juju. So that's going to be that could be as good as any game in the playoffs. And I would say Modern Day is still the favorite to win Pool B. If anyone's going to knock them off, it's probably almost has to be Harvard-Westlake. And like you said, Wolverines would have a depth disadvantage, but they also, you know, no one anywhere can match up with Kiki Irioffen. And then in Division One for the girls, Southern Section, it's mostly been the teams that have been expected to make it to the quarterfinals. Today, Bishop Montgomery versus Long Beach Poly is going to be outstanding. Roosevelt versus Fairmont Prep is going to be outstanding. I will be at Sierra Canyon versus Esperanza, who's made a little bit of an underdog run to make it to this the quarterfinals. I just haven't gotten to see Sierra Canyon yet. And, of course, Sierra Canyon is led by possibly, very well could be the best duo in the class of 2024 anywhere, which is Izella Arenas and McKinley Randolph, the daughters of Gilbert Arenas and Zach Randolph, so I hope I see them tonight. But those two, I can't wait to see them. They're both five-star talents. I've heard that they both are very resemblant of their fathers, who, of course, are both NBA or retired NBA All-Stars. So that's the rundown in the top divisions of the Southern Section. And then with the City Section, we're still waiting to get underway for the Open Division. I think anyone will tell you it's not, I don't know if I want to say it's quite Palisades to lose, but at this point, they're not only the favorite, but they are the odds-on favorite. Like it would be that big of an upset if anyone beat them. At 2 and 3 in terms of the seeding is Birmingham, who won the West Valley League, and Hamilton, who, of course, is always just a step or two behind Palisades. I think it's pretty safe to say those teams have the two best shots to knock them off. Both of them played them down to double digits, or single digits, I mean, this season, although both of those games had a few caveats regarding injuries and that type of thing. I think Damani Lagway was not in either of them, and she's arguably, or at least on a short list of the best players in the section. But I think every single team in the open division is good, although I'm not giving Garfield any chance against Palisades. I think every other team, so Birmingham, Hamilton, Elko, Crenshaw, and Westchester, I'm giving every single one of those teams a chance to win their first game. And on the opposite side of the bracket from Palisades, I think Westchester, Birmingham, Narbonne, and Hamilton all have at least some shot to make it to the finals. So that's basically it. And I think the biggest story is, can anyone give Palisades a run for their money? If not, then the biggest story is who's going to be that number two. There's definitely a lot of teams playing for number two, but there's a few teams who have a chance to really push them. And that's basically the rundown.
Thank you. Yeah, in the Boys City section, I think whoever, and this sounds obvious, but sometimes it's tough for these teams to score big points in the playoffs. So I look at a TJ Wainwright from Westchester. If he can put up a lot of points, I think Westchester has a great chance. King Drew, if Khalib LeCount, he can put up 50 points in a game. We've seen it already this year. Narbonne has some guys who can score. So it's going to all be about consistency. I worry about Fairfax's ability to score the basketball and some of those other teams in that upper division. But that's going to be a lot of fun. Bodie, which games do you have circled in your calendar coming up? Where are you going to be the next few days?
Yeah, I'm still working through some things. I know Saturday we should have the boys volleyball open division final, and that was a double elimination format this year, and both the favorites went down in the last round, so now they have an elimination game for both of them. So that was Poway, the one seed. They're going to have to play La Costa Canyon again tomorrow, and then Torrey Pines, the two seed. They lost the rematch against Sage Creek. I think this will be the fifth time they've played this year, just two of the dominant teams. So boys volleyball is looking really good down here. So that'll be on Saturday. And as some basketball games may get shifted around, I'm just waiting to see on the schedule for that of when everyone's going to be playing. I know one of the Division III games got moved tonight. So it's definitely an exciting time. And baseball, as that heats up, will be great as well. And not just the open division, but Division I's going to be highly contested, and Division II's got really four teams, I think, that all have a chance to take it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Looking from my perch here in the Southern section, and then City section as well, just there are going to be some really great semifinal games here. Teams that don't get much attention in 2A in the Southern section, Dominguez has had a great year. That's where Tyson Chandler went to school, and that his senior year was considered one of the best high school teams of all time. So they're not obviously at that level, but it's just nice to see Compton Dominguez be good, and they're playing top overall seed Korean Lutheran in the semifinal. That's going to be a lot of fun. Agora upset West Ranch in the quarterfinal, and they're going to play Murrieta Valley in their semifinal. So 2A all of a sudden has a really fun last four. Looking at Division I, Bishop Montgomery started 0-6, and now they're in the semifinals. Really excited for that program. They're going to play a really good Chaminade team. I think that game will be a coin flip. Heritage Christian is Capistrano Valley. Capistrano Valley is coached by a great guy in Brian Mulligan, who always has his team ready to go, even though on paper that Heritage Christian matchup will be tough. At the beginning, I thought it was going to be Heritage Christian Chaminade, and I'll still stick with that pick, but I would not be surprised if Bishop Montgomery is able to beat Chaminade, just because they are the hot team right now. And then in 2AA, this will segue into my top performers. I was at last night, Rolling Hills Prep somehow beats Fountain Valley by 1 point. Rolling Hills Prep was down by 3, and Fountain Valley had the ball with 20 seconds to go. Fountain Valley turned it over, and then immediately Rolling Hills Prep got 2. Then they committed a foul, 1-1 for Fountain Valley, missed the front end. Rolling Hills Prep gets the rebound. Kenny Manzi has a layup, gets fouled, goes to the line, swishes both. Mountain Valley goes down and misses a three. And I talked to Harvey Catani, the legendary coach who was at Fairfax for such a long time, who's now at Rolling Hills Prep, after that game. And we just looked at each other and started laughing right after the game, because it was one of those, like, how the heck did that just happen kind of situations. And he's the nicest guy. It was just nice to have that moment with him, just kind of like both where we, it was a funny reaction. We were both just kind of really laughing after that. I don't know how things ended up that way. And then he said we needed everything to go our way, and it did. So they have Santa Margarita next, and those two teams play very similar styles in the sense that they work really hard on defense. They each scored only 40-something points in their quarterfinal wins, so that's going to be a good game. And then Long Beach Poly, who, without Peyton Watson, has made it all the way to the semifinals. They play a really good Los Altos team. That's great. We went over the open division earlier. I think all these semifinal games are amazing, so I'm excited for that. My top performer, and we'll get out of here with the top performers. Didn't talk as much baseball today as I would like, but with the playoffs kicking off this week, we can do that some more next week. But my top performer, Kenny Manzi, last night, he hit the two clutch free throws for Rolling Hills Prep and led them with 17 points. Without him, Rolling Hills Prep would be in a lot of trouble. He's only a sophomore. He's 6'8". He's someone who I think has a Division I potential landing spot when his time comes, because he's so talented, and I thought he showed it last night against a good Fountain Valley team. Bodie, let's go to you. Do you have a couple top performers you want to mention?
Yeah, the first one from a game last night, John Pearson from Canyon Crest had 49 points to help take down Eastlake in the D3 playoffs. And Canyon Crest is one of those teams that they played in a really good league this year with Torrey Pines, Carlsbad, El Camino, La Costa Canyon. I think only won two or three games, but come playoffs, once they get seated in a division that fits kind of who they are as a team, I think they can make a deep run. And he showed last night that he's capable of putting up a 49-point performance, which I would not have expected there. And then I will go to, in Division One, Francis Parker. Seems like everyone on this team can hit a bunch of threes. Last night it was Daryl Sledge Jr., 6 of 8 from the field, 3 of 4 from three. I've talked about some of their other players this year, and Vinny Ferrari is another one. And just Francis Parker, early on in the year, missing a couple guys. They got a late start to the year, but that's a team that they're going to have to go on the road from here on out, but I think they can make a run.
Great, thank you. And Lance, we'll finish with you. Top performers?
All right, so I saw a few good performances in the last week. Got to start with the game you asked me to go to, and I'm glad you did, because Alyssa Thompson was electric in Harvard-Westlake's win against Villa Park. 5-0. I couldn't believe it was 5-0, and it was over within the first 25 minutes or so. I'm so glad you mentioned that game was going on, because I'm about the least well-equipped person to give a soccer opinion, not just of three of us, but I think of anyone I know. But you're right. She is just a special talent. Then I saw Rosary Academy blow out Los Altos. Kaylee Bion, combo guard for Rosary. Last year they had Asia Avenger, a four-star. I think she's at San Diego State. So Bion is really playing the two. I didn't realize just how much lead guard she had in her, but she put up 17 points, 12 assists, played about 25 minutes, if that, and barely any missed shots or turnovers. And then I saw Fairmont Prep beat Valley View, Moreno Valley, in the round of 16, I think. That was last week. And Ari Long, sophomore Valley View, who I think should be nationally ranked, scored 34 points, shooting above 50% from the field with great defense all over her. And Ling Suvera had 17 points and 8 assists in really efficient fashion for Fairmont Prep. So that was a nice highlight-filled one. But as far as basketball goes, that's the top on my radar.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Next week, we'll talk more baseball. And Lance, I know in the past you've talked about wanting to mention some softball players, so maybe we can focus a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I got a list.
Okay, great. And just quickly, the Trinity League Baseball Championship was great. It came right down to Orange Lutheran and Jay Sarah, and Jay Sarah took it. I hate picking the favorites all the time, but I just don't see how, even in the one-game situation, Jay Sarah is going to lose. I guess maybe if they face a dominant arm and if Gage Jump has to deal with his pitch count and he gets pulled, maybe the team will get to their bullpen or something. But just the pitching depth that they have with him and Eric Silva is incredible. So that'll certainly be a talking point down the line. I'm excited to get to a game tomorrow when it all starts in the southern section, the playoffs. And then, of course, the city section is on my mind, too. We should talk more. Lance, you did a great job talking about the city section. I should talk more about that down the line. So tune in for that next week. For Bodie DeSilva, Lance Smith, I'm Connor Morissette. We'll see you next time.